You are listening to the Frillo Bros Tech Podcast, Episode 74, The Future of Cyborgs and Supercapacitors. I am super stoked about something that is not nearly as... well, it has to do with the future, let me put it that way. It's just on a different level. It is a calendaring app, which is why it has to do with the future. it's called Sunrise, and this is what's, this is interesting. I have used an iPhone. Let's see, I got an iPhone when the first year it came out.
Yeah,
right. Like, it was like that, like that Thanksgiving.
I was gonna say that Thanksgiving, which was, and it came out in. It's back when it came out in June, so you got it 4 months late.
Yeah.
Not really an early adopter. Took you 4 months to get one.
I know. Well, I waited for the price drop. Let's put it that way.
Right.
They had to like cut it like $300 or whatever it was. So I got it. Since then, I have been using the standard mail app and the standard calendar app, and they're all synced with Google, basically. So I use Google for my calendar and my email, but I've been using the standard iPhone apps to manage them. I've been doing that for a really long time. In the span of, I think it's 2 weeks, I have replaced both of those apps, which is fairly incredible because those were like on my bottom bar. I use them all the time, live and die by them type of thing. No, seriously, if I have an event that for whatever reason doesn't get copied over to my calendar, I do not show up because that's the way I work, which happens a lot because I have, I don't know, this online. But I have to do some wonky stuff in order to get my HP events on my phone because I'm not in their exchange program thing because they don't like iPhones, so they make you do some crazy stuff. So I live and die by it. The point of all of that is to say in the last 2 weeks, I replaced both of those. We talked about Mailbox last time and, you know, some of my thoughts on that. Now I'm talking about Sunrise, which is a calendar app. And it's one of those where, like, so far everyone's been like, this is the only one that is actually worthy of replacing the built-in app because all the other ones are just kind of, they're fun skins. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is like one thing I've never had any trouble with is the calendar app. Like there is something to be desired with the mail app, but not a lot in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But the calendar app, what? I've never thought twice. So I'm excited to hear what they could have done, what they think could do differently and better.
So here's basically what they did, which is a big difference, is it's not just a skin. They actually have their own servers that they pump everything through to make sure that it's all in sync, which can be an issue when you're dealing with multiple calendars and multiple different types of connections. Right. And so what they do is they pull in your Google Calendar, which is a lot nicer than, like, if you do it the Google way, you got to go to, like, their mobile sync and you got to actually click your calendars. You know what I'm talking about? It's not as straightforward as you would like it to be. Or right. You got to do all their different CalDev stuff. It's a pain. So, but with this one, they just like, you sign into your account, boom, select the ones you want, done. Really nice. You also can sign into your LinkedIn, which I have found so far from an event standpoint to be lame because no one does LinkedIn events.
I didn't even know LinkedIn had events.
Yeah, or you can also sign into your Facebook account, okay? So, but what's cool about it is when you have a meeting, it will tell you the people who are going to the meeting. And here's where it actually becomes neat, is like with LinkedIn, okay, it doesn't do the events, but oftentimes, especially for work, it knows the people in LinkedIn and will give me their picture. So I can actually see, like, who's this person I'm talking to, which for me, I do everything over the phone, so it's actually kind of nice to know, that's what you look like. And so it'll also sync up your Facebook birthdays with it, which is really nice because you can actually tap on it for each day and then it'll give you the names and it could be like, wish them happy birthday on their timeline or send them a text message or actually visit their Facebook profile page instead of, you know, so it streamlines that process of wishing someone a happy birthday, which is nice. It also has just, you know, it includes the weather in there, you know, which is cool, I guess. And, So, you know, so it's got that. The other cool part that I like about it, which has always been frustrating with me, I don't know about if you, the way you use the app, but I am constantly jumping between the daily view and the monthly view. Because there, you know, there's, I want to know what's going on during the day. But then there's times when people are asking me, well, what are we doing on this day or that day or a month from now? And then I got to switch over to the month view and then, you know, go find the date. And then and then it gives you just like, because I don't have the expanded screen. I only have the 3.5-inch screen, like this half-inch space to actually see the events that are happening on that day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? It's just, it's not, well, you may not, because like I said, you got extra space, but it's not a lot of space to see what's going on.
Right. No. I agree. I totally understand what you're saying.
Okay. So what this one has is up at the very top, it has 2 weeks worth of dates, and then it has the timeline underneath it. So you can clearly see what the week is and you know, what's coming up in the next week. And then you also just have your events and you can scroll through the timeline. And as you scroll, the 2 week calendar at the top will scroll with you so you know what you're doing. There's an easy way to get back to where you are today. That's a cool little animation thingy. And then what's really neat is if you decide, okay, I want to go to a different month, when you tap on that 2 week calendar view, it expands to be an entire month and actually kind of grays out the dates and tells you here's what the month is. You scroll to the month you want, and then once you do that, the month fades away. It brings back your dates, and when you click on a specific date, it'll shrink back up to that 2 week view and the timeline of where you are. In
cool.
That week. So I guess for me, it has two things that it does really, really nice. The first one is the transition between the daily view and the monthly view, which, like I said, I do that all the time, and it's a pain to have to go back and forth. It is very, very nice and very well done. And then what I also like, honestly, it's yet to be seen how it works, is I like that it will keep everything synced on their servers all the time instead of waiting for me to have to open up the app to sync it. I mean,
yeah,
I'll have to open up the app to get the data, but it should theoretically already have been synced and kept up to date.
Which is nice. I mean, that makes a big difference. I mean, like, you know, honestly, like I'm the example. Well, yeah, I hate having to open, especially because of how iOS does syncing. And, you know, the third, you know, multitasking and whatnot, it's not updating the information on your hard drive when it's not open. So it's like, you know, yeah, that first sync can take a while, and it can kind of, you know, mess everything. Like if you're looking at other devices or looking at other places. Yeah. So that's cool. That is good that they do that that way.
I have found, I think I've had to do this a few times. And by a few, I mean, I'll probably do it once a year, maybe once every 6 months. I will actually literally turn off the calendar app and then to delete all the information and then just do a straight up resync to get it all back up to date. Cause things just get, wonkier. Things stop adding to it. And I can see an event on the web browser. Like, it is not in my phone. What is wrong with this?
Really?
Yeah, and I'll be like, resync, won't do it. And then all I'll do is I'll literally just turn off the calendar app. You open it back up, and it's like, are you sure you want to do this? It will delete everything. Oh, my gosh. And yeah, do it. Get rid of it. It'll all be gone. And then I'll literally turn it back on, wait for it to sync. Ta-da, the event shows up. Like, great. So I don't fully understand how all that works. My hope is that they claim by doing everything on their server, that won't happen. Or it means that there's a problem, there's absolutely no way for me to fix it.
Right, I was going to say. This is either a great thing or catastrophic, so.
Yeah, so it's called Sunrise. And like I said, I follow multiple news sources, as you know. And yes. I've had three different independent ones recommend it. So. Okay. To me, that starts to, you know, Lifehacker being one of them. And pretty much any time Lifehacker recommends something, I'm like, okay, this is worth at least looking into if it's free, which is the other nice part about it. This is actually a free app. And so,
yeah,
that's cool.
That is one thing I've noticed with the iPad is that good apps are not free on the iPad.
I would say there are, and it's slowly trickling down to the phone as well. You know, where you're going to pay 99 cents for something that...
Which... I don't have any problem with that, actually, especially if there's like an obnoxious free version where you can try this out free before you, you know, with ads, and it's awful. But then you pay 99 cents and get rid of the ads. Like, I don't mind that, but I wanted a note taking app for my iPad. And so I got Notability, which was pretty cool, but it was $1.99, and I couldn't use it before I actually tried it. Actually, I ended up using it on a friend's device, which is how I knew that I would like it. But man, that was nerve-wracking. Like, I didn't want to spend
it. You know, that is something that I really feel like the app stores need to figure out how to do. Yeah. I mean, I know that a lot of apps, they will, or app developers, the way they get around it is they'll give you a light version. And I think it'd be cool if they gave you like just a demo version. Hey, yeah, you can use this, and then it'll magically break after a week.
It's 30 days, yeah.
I don't know. I'd be okay. I would be okay with that because I just want to test it. Same with games, right? Is this a good game? I don't know. I'm dependent on reviews of random people, and I don't know if their tastes are the same as mine. And no offense, but Game Center doesn't quite cut it when it comes to game recommendations because I don't know why it's not implemented well. It's probably very difficult to do.
Right.
And so it's just like, man, if there were a way to let me temporarily download something or download a demo version. See, okay, how about just this? We're going to put it out there. Instead of developers making two separate apps, one that's the light version and one that's the full version, have it so that developers can they create two separate apps, and one it's literally a demo, one's the real one. And then in iOS, it manages all that, where you can say, yeah, let me download the demo, and then you can do that, and it downloads that other one. And if you love it, there's an opportunity for it to say, yeah, you know what, give me the full version. And then all it does is it essentially deletes that app and downloads the full-blown version of it. Good to go. Brilliant. Solved it.
That's kind of what these other ones. Well, it's not exactly, but it's like, you know, I'm playing Phrase Friends free, they have like it's a fun game. It's a really fun game. It is one of the worst written apps ever. It's terrible.
What you're saying, it's like the equivalent of doing the in-app purchase, where basically doing in-app purchase to upgrade this entire thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
And honestly,
I feel like it would be cool with some of those. It's really hard to tell that's how it works. And I just feel like, oh, just let me download a demo. I don't know. I
understand. Yeah.
Because how's Madden, right? That's a fun iOS game for football. You know, how would Madden do that? You could play one game for free. And then if you want to play the rest of it, you got to upgrade.
Sorry. Well, you would do it like you would with whenever big name games come out, where you'd have a light version where you could play with one team, and it'd be the Detroit Lions.
See, and that's what I'm saying is they should let Apple manage all of that in a single, you know, download experience. Well, and I actually think they'll see their sales go up because you.
It's one of those things where I think you could, and Apple could facilitate it. It does seem like it's something that's automatable. I don't know if it's the worst solution that we have right now. It's what we had forever. I mean, that's
I know, and I just think it could be better because part of the other thing it will do is it will set the expectations of, hey, this is just a demo.
Yeah,
you know, this is not a separate download. This is this is not a light version. You know what I mean? No, you cannot enjoy the entire thing. You are literally downloading this to decide if you want to pay for it. You know, as opposed to what I think happens with the light version is you're downloading it to see how much can I play for free.
Yeah, can I survive with just this?
So I think it changes the mindset of the downloader.
But could app developers customer. Do that themselves just by calling it, Warrior Game Battle Station demo, and then Warrior Game Battle Station full. Like I don't know. I guess I don't know. I feel like that would be something cool that Apple could do. But I have a feeling that Apple's response is that's a lot more infrastructure. That's a lot of change into the code. all for the sake of doing something that's already has a decent implementation, and developers seem to like it. Because, like, the light versions are usually, the demo you're talking about is the idea of you play, you get one level, or you get, half of the features, or you have 30 days to use it, and then it goes away, and then you have to get the paid version. Whereas the light version is usually just that, but it's got ads in it, and it's a completely separate download, so people will, so that the developers make money off of it, even if you don't, pay for it, they don't make as much. And then when you actually pay for the full version, I don't know. I think it would be very cool, and I'd appreciate it. Apple, get on it, guys. But I don't know. I just don't know if it's necessary. And I have a feeling Apple feels like they have bigger fish to fry.
I keep thinking about that situation that you were talking about with the Notes app, where you wanted to try it, and that developer did not give you a way to do it, and. Right. And so what if, okay, fine, you want to do your own light app, that's totally cool, and perhaps you disable some sort of demo preview thing, and then Apple, builds in a, you could try this for, they treat it just like a rental thing. You could try this thing for 24 hours.
That would be cool if like, as a developer, you could go into iTunes and they'd have like a little radio thing or a radio button thing where you're like, do you want to have people be able to demo this? You click yes, exactly. Demo. And then, how long do you want them to be able to demo it for? 24 hours, 48 hours, a week, a month. Give people
three times.
Choices.
They can open it three times, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it just is a ticking time bomb in your, and because you downloaded it through the app. Yeah. You know what? If you were to do that, I think that would be very cool. I would use that a lot. Because it's, for example, one of the things that I want to do is I actually really want to get a heavy duty, FTP client for my phone so that I can manage my, servers anywhere in the world. But the reason why I don't is because I realize the best ones cost a couple bucks. They, $5 and $10 in some cases. But these are like really, really, really nice things. And I just don't know which one I want to spend my $10 on. And I realize Notability, for me, it's like $2, dude. I like blow my nose at $2. Like so often, it's just not even like, I realize it was like a small, but for a bigger app, especially a more expensive one, like $10, like that's a legit purchase there, and I want to make sure that I don't waste it. And I think really this becomes incredibly important as you move into, will Apple TV have video games? That questions like that, because when you talk about those bigger game developments, I'll tell you what, I spend $20-$30 on video games every once in a while, but I almost never do it if I haven't touched the game first. And I think that there's a much better implementation than if you could give me a demo game for 24 hours or 7 days, and then it's going to automatically delete itself, but it's the full game, man.
Necessarily automatically delete itself. It grays out or something, and the next time you tap on it, just gives you a little pop of, hey, buy this whole thing if you want to keep trying it. You're like, oh, yeah, totally. One tap purchase starts downloading.
Right. Well, it's already downloaded. All it would do is, ungray it.
Exactly. So, worse than someone, I guess they would have, there could be an issue with like jailbreakers who figure out how to get around that.
Well, yeah, but that's already an issue with jailbreakers. You can download anything from the internet. I don't know. Interesting. Okay. Wow, that was not what we came here to talk about today.
No, but you know what? I loved it.
Me too. But it does it. It segues nicely. It segues really, does it? What do you want to talk about next?